Okay. So again, it's good to know that we have that, that they will say you are preaching false, but make us more eager to know what really what the Bible says, because we do not want to give to the people or even to the church what is false. But again, to tell you our experience, the opposition is from the or from those who profess to be Christians. And we are helping also the pastors, like not only the church planting, because some of them, after listening to the word of truth, after the training, they will stand for the truth, they will teach the truth, and the church that they are serving will observe the difference. And so they will report it to their organization. That's how the Philippines work. The church is under an organization. And then they will report, and then this or some pastors will be kicked out from their organization. So it becomes our burden also to help them, to come alongside them, to help them, because they will be out, and then they have no like support to support their family, because they don't have a work outside or anything, only to preach the gospel. So that becomes our ministry. And the Lord is sustaining us. And thank you for your prayers. And I was surprised that your pastor, Aaron, knows the name of my wife. And so really, they are praying for us. And thank you for that. Truly, they are brothers. And of course, we should be brothers and sisters because of Christ. And so, before I pray, let us open our Bible to Acts chapter 17. And I will be reading verses 16 through 17. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, because again, in your grace and in your mercy, you let us experience this sweet fellowship. Sweet fellowship because we are celebrating one name, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Master, our Lord. And that we cannot do, Lord, without you giving us the Holy Spirit, convicting us through the Holy Spirit, giving us understanding from the truth of your word through the working of the Holy Spirit, changing our hearts, Lord, changing our mind, again, the work of the Holy Spirit, to overcome our rebellion, to overcome the hardness of our hearts and our minds, Lord, to give light that we may see the beauty, the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, pleasing to you, Father. And so, I pray this morning, once again, speak to us, Lord, through your word. Encourage us. Give glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I was asked to preach about, or with the theme regarding the mission. And so this is not an scheduled preaching, but the pastor who asked me to come here through Aaron said to the guy Greg Reed that if there is someone who can preach, and Greg approached me and told me that you need to be ready in season or out of season. And so I cannot say no. Of course, I will not say no. That's the reason why we are here. Not only to be encouraged, but also to encourage you, to give you a perspective, not only locally, but globally, about the work of Christ in spreading His glory through the gospel. And so here, I think it is most appropriate that I may tell you about this portion of the scripture in Acts 17, 16 through 17. Well, to me also, it gives, the book of Acts gives me a perspective, the right perspective of how to do church work, how to do missions work, because the book of Acts is rooted from the gospel. Of course, you cannot have the book of Acts without the four gospels, without the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But if you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have only an idea if you do not have the book of Acts, because you will not see life, how this penetrate the lives of individual like this, the life of Apostle Paul, the life of the name that you can read in every book. Those lives have been affected by the truth that is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And of course, you cannot see the truth of what is written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John without the prophecy in the Old Testament. That's why you have the whole Bible. So the whole Bible, and then you read the book of Acts, you will say, this is truly true. Of course, the truthfulness is not should not be gauged because of the effect from the people. Of course, it is true because it is from God, the Word of God. God is truth. But of course, when God says something, when God does something, there is an effect. And so you can see that the truth of God affects the lives of the people. And so this morning, I will encourage you to think of like that, the mission. It's not only a program in the church, but I pray that we will see it, that the church for now, will express the kind of life. That's why the Lord saved the people. And then the expression of that life will show through doing mission. But again, I say that is only a portion, because mission will be gone in eternity. Because all people now are reached in the name of Christ. They will gather. I got this from the book in our missions class, and then he said that the ultimate goal is that of worship. You worship God. You worship the true God. And now, as we live here, we can see that that is not being done to every or with every people. We praise the Lord because of His grace and His mercy. He worked in our hearts, in our minds, and then we saw the glory of Christ. We saw that we need Christ. We saw the glory of the Lord, and then we need the expression of that joy in the presence of the Lord. But before we can enjoy that presence of the Lord, we need what the Lord will provide for us, so that we will not be consumed with that glory that is written in the book or in the scripture or the truth expressing who God is. So we need to receive that, the one that He gave to us as an access, or that we may enjoy the throne of grace, and that is Christ Himself. So God in His grace and His mercy, we will not see that glory until He will give us the Holy Spirit and then open our minds. He will light up our hearts that we may see the beauty, the glory of Christ. And so we enjoy Him. But what about the people? And so that is the whole heartbeat of the mission. When you see it, when you experience it, how glorious Christ is, how beautiful Christ is, and then it will it will have the, this effect in your life. And so I want to go in that note. And not only because that is my opinion, I pray, that's why we have this verse before us. So let's go, Acts 17:16-17. Listen to this. Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. Now, observe, Paul was waiting for them at Athens. Why is that? Why is that phrase was there? Paul was waiting for them at Athens. Because in every effect, there is a cause. So this is an effect. He is waiting. So as a reader, you will think, what happened? And it's good because we will not go far. You can see it in chapter 17, 1, following. Now, when they had traveled, so keep on traveling again, you will trace that. Why are they traveling through Amphipolis and Apollonia? They came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them for 3 Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ." So again, before that, he was waiting, and now in verses 1 following, you can see that they are moving, so and then the movement is caused by, it says here, giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I am proclaiming." So their movement, they move because of this one cause. That is to proclaim to you the Christ, to proclaim Jesus. And so they need to reason out. And then some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas along. And 5, but the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar, and attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. And when they did not find them, they began dragging Jason. And so they experienced opposition while preaching the gospel of Christ, while proclaiming Christ, they experience persecution. And that is why not only they move because they love to move, sometimes they were forced to move. They need to move out from city to city because they are forced to move. But you see, even if they are forced to move, they have one purpose, or the purpose of their moving was not, or is not, or never interrupted. It's still about Christ. And that's why we have this in verse 16. Paul was waiting. For me, if I connect those words that we read, you can read that privately. If you connect it, while waiting, for me, I will just keep waiting. I will not say anything, because, or else, I will not be waiting anymore, because I will be forced again to move. And it is a tiring task to keep on moving, just moving. But here, listen, while he was waiting, it did not stop Paul observing the surrounding. And as he observed the surrounding, it says here, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. Now, why did he conclude that way? The city was full of idols. For me, it's like Aaron's wife told me that maybe someday you can bring your wife. And I told her it's a hard task. It's difficult. Why? Because most of the Filipino Before, if you are applying for a religious visa, it would be easy. Because they think that if you are working as a religious man, you are trustworthy. But most, sad to say, when they get the visa and they will enter the U.S. and they observe while waiting, they can see cars that never been seen in the Philippines. And they can see people that are, to them, they think that are well off. That reality will lure them and they will not go back in the Philippines. And so, it is hard for us now. Why? Because as you observe, it will expose what is in your heart. It's not the lure. No. You are being lured to that thing. You are being attracted, or the attraction is there because that is what is in your heart. But look at Paul. While he was waiting, he did not wait as a tourist or doing a vocational thing as that vacation. No. When he observed that the city was full of idols. Now, again, full of idols, in what reference? You will not say idols if you do not know what your truth is. Because idols is the opposite of true God. Idolatry, in the sense, is expressing rebellion against the true God. That is why even among from the rest of the religion, they will tell us we are worshiping idols also. Because they have this reference that they have the true God to them. And so it exposes the heart of the Apostle Paul. And so the same, mission is not a program. It exposes the heart of the church. What do you see in your surroundings, church? What do you see not only locally but globally? And if we have the real thing, if we know that we have the real thing, and truly the real thing, communicated by the Spirit of God, we have the truth of God, and we are so fully convinced about it. And what you will see is these surroundings, locally and globally, is full of idols. It springs out from the truth, or from your very heart that is changed by the Lord, worked by the Lord, that is so concerned about the glory of Christ. The Apostle Paul, in his own letter, he said, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And if you read the background of that letter, he is in prison. But he said, the gospel is not being imprisoned, or the gospel is not locked up, but the gospel is spreading. And then he can share the gospel to the guards. Maybe the guards are telling each other, "I don't want to guard Paul. Why? It will change me. Because I can see other guards being changed. No, I don't want to change." But truly, the change is through the power of the Holy Spirit, showing us, or showing the glory of Christ. So it says here, his spirit was being provoked. Again, that's the exposure of what is in the heart. So to the life of the Apostle Paul, his movement, no matter what it is, forced movement, being forced by the opposition, or to say also they are being forced because of what is in the heart, They saw the need. They saw that Christ must be proclaimed, because people are full of idols, not only city, but people in their hearts are full of idols. They do not have the truth of God. They need to know the truth. That is why he did, or that is why we can read about the mission, the reaching out, the proclaiming of the glory. And so, it says here, spirit was being provoked within him, and he was observing city full of idols. It's amazing, the word provoke also, it's related from the expression of anger, word provoke. I kept on thinking that, and I say, yeah, when people are angry, you are sure that they are angry. Sometimes when I say, I love you to my wife will go, really? But when I express my anger to my wife, he will not ask. He will know I'm angry. You see? That's the word provoke. It means that is the real thing, what is in your heart. You are being stirred up. You are being true to what is inside. And how I wish that we can illustrate that in a positive way, not in the way that I illustrated it, in the way of anger. I pray that when we say love, it means you will not doubt someone says that I love you, brothers, sisters, I love you. Oh, I pray that I could illustrate that way. But here, of course, I can say this being provoked is in a real sense driven by his commitment to the glory of Christ, to the Lord Jesus, and seeing the people that they do not have. Though they have their own religion, though they have their own philosophy, but that is drawing them away from the true God. And so, he is so concerned. He's so concerned. That's why two things we learn from that. Number one, we need to know so that we can express the reality within our heart regarding the mission. It is not just a program. It should be the expression of life. So that, number one, we need to know who the true God is. And, of course, that need to know, we need the work of the Holy Spirit to penetrate within us so that he will give us the conviction from within that we are not just a professing Christian, but truly we are Christian. Because we are owned by Christ. We are overwhelmed by Christ. We are captivated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number two, we must express, of course, the love for the people. Now, it's not a contradictory thing. It says the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, soul, and strength. And the second is that you love your neighbor. So there is this love for the people. People that were created in the image and likeness of God. That they need to know who this God is. The true God. So you see, you are driven by two things or two truths. One, there is this true God that captivates you. And then the other one, you can see them that they are doing useless thing. Not only useless, but a rebellion against the true God. And so you are so concerned. But the result is not in us, of course. Some will receive it, and we sing praises to the Lord, because we saw the gracious salvation of the Lord, but some will continue to reject it. And to those who will continue to reject it, it is not that we did not express love, but all the more we will express this fear that one day they will receive the justice of God. Oh, this is a very heavy, heavy not only task, but burden within. And I pray that the Lord will give us that. And so, when you are driven to that, when you have the true God, and then you saw them that they are full of idols. And so 17, it says, he was reasoning. That's why Christian. It's not just a lip service that you say, I'm a Christian. No. Because we need to reason. This is not just about opinion of something. No. There is a reason. When we say reason, it's heavy. It's not just to make just a conversation. No. This is reason. And some of those who profess to be Christian, they're just Christian, but when you talk to them, when you hear them, it's like, there's no reason. There is reason for me to doubt that they are Christian. But there is no reason why are they really Christian. That is why it's the message is not only to save the people from idolatry, the message will all the more will put the people to idolatry. It's like it's also in the Philippines, especially in the Philippines, because you know the background, poor country. So what they want to hear about the gospel is that the Lord will promise them wealth. That the Lord will promise them good health. That the Lord will save them from poverty. No. No. Even if you are in good health, if your heart is not right before God, still you will express not a good thing. But even if you are in a poverty, but the Lord is working in your heart, you can still sing praises to Him. You can still encourage people, even if you are in the midst of trouble. It's not about the problem, the outside. No, it's the condition of our heart. Who our God is. Who we worship. And so, Paul was reasoning with them. And that is what we are doing, Christian. We are seeing people driven away from the Lord, but we are praying to the Lord that the Lord in His grace and in His mercy will call His people upon Himself. Because we know about the glory of God, not only that He is a God of justice, He is also a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. Not only that He will punish those who rebel and continue to rebel, no, but He will also, in His own sovereign mercy, we cannot dictate this to God, He can overpower the rebellious, and He can change the heart, He can change the mind, and He can draw people to Himself. Again, in mission, it's not an easy task, I know, but do not expect that everything will be like we are just walking in the park. No, there will be challenges. But ultimately, our trust is in the Lord. And then what will keep you going is your commitment, your concern for the glory of the Lord. And of course, your concern also, your love for the men created in the image and likeness of God, your brother, your sister. But if they continue in their rebellion, they will receive the justice of God. But if you can see a changed heart, you will praise the Lord for His grace and His mercy. Let us pray. Oh Lord, thank You. We have Your word, Lord, that will guide us, that will lead us, that will make us sure of what we are believing. And not only words, Lord. You have given us the Holy Spirit that will enlighten us. Not only that we are reading the word as word, but the word that we read, Lord, is working within us. And that word, the message, is the person, the exalted one, the gracious, merciful, the righteous, the Lord Jesus Christ, that express the beauty, Lord, your beauty. And then we can see from the truth, if you open our hearts and our understanding, that we are serving really the no God before. That without this truth, Lord, we are living in a life of idolatry. We are full of idols. We are seeking things that will not satisfy. We are chasing the things that is vanity or vain or nothing. And so, Lord, thank you for your saving work that you gave us the right path, the truth, the fullness of joy, Lord. Thank you in your presence. And that we have this confidence, not because of ourselves, but confidence because of your grace and your mercy and the provision that is in Christ. And so I pray, Lord, that this truth will give the life to this church. And so they will see also that their heartbeat is toward your heartbeat, Lord, that you are calling your people, that you are saving your people, Lord, that you are making yourself known to them in your grace and in your mercy. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.